Well, I did all the stuff that goes with the beginning of the program without the program actually going out. One of the things I did say was that I'm a little bit exhausted because I've been negotiating the pathways and byways and spidery little briar patchy the spaces of the West Virginia criminal justice system today. That's where I am. I'm Zonked. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. I'll say it again now. This is going to be real weird for the people listening to the podcast. Sorry, y'all. But every program here begins with thanks. And so thanks go out to Christopher and Paul from Parts Unknown and Maribel and Tony and Chico and John. Thank you all for being partial sponsors of the network and of the program so that we can keep this whole all the plates spinning on all the sticks. And thanks especially going out to Joan from Talibandiana, who, among other things, knocked out the remainder of Tracy's challenge and took things down considerably after that, so that this evening we're only looking at like a $400 we're looking at a $400 evening to finish things off for the week, which is cool because I had a note from Charlene from Rogues Island, a founding member of the Sorority of Leans and a member of Queen Tracy's Reverse Oreo Society, who said, "Good evening, Bob. Let's do a $200 Rudy, there's no place to hide challenge. If it's met tonight, I'll add $50. So we've got a $200 challenge on the table and $50 that get added to it if we gather together and add $200. And that'll finish us off for the week, including my squirrely math, which may or may not be right. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you so much. Charlene says, by the way, your impersonations are great. They bring the stories to life. I laughed out loud a few times. Best from Rogues Island. Thank you, Charlene. Because among other things, you know, nobody, when a comedian's standing on the stage or I don't know, Barrymore doing a death scene in Shakespeare or whatever, nobody shouts out from the audience, "That was awesome!" Because it's kind of not done. And it's pretty much not done here either. But it's so wonderful to get little moments of affirmation like that. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you so very much. And the fact of the matter is, I kind of enjoy hauling out my fun little impersonations and impressions. And I mean, I'm not particularly good at it, but it's an awful lot of fun. And last night, by the way, in case anybody was wondering, I've monitored the news all day long. Did I do the "Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid" part? I did it in the part that didn't go out. But okay, so yeah. I've monitored the news all day long. And it's like the Lindsey Graham selling out our country story to the Moscow Morning Zoo crew just sank like a stone in a well. And there was no chance for Lassie to go and get the sheriff before it just went and died. It was horrible. I don't understand how the multimillionaires in the for-profit media can look at a story like that and go, no big deal, nothing going on here. It's not a thing. Happens all the time. If that, you know, that makes you wonder, how many bullshit calls do Joe and Mika take every morning, or Stephanie Rule, or any of the people over on the other channels? What are they afraid of? I mean, this program's live every evening. Granted, I think we'd be like midnight. We're probably 2 a.m. in Moscow right now. But if the Moscow Morning Zoo crew, Lev and Igor, or whatever their fucking names are, wanted to call this program, I'd take the call. I mean, we're hooked up here. I give the phone number out all the time. 844-843-4676 or Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. And maybe I'd treat them like they were real people. Who knows? I mean, I'd like to think that if Lev and Igor called in, that I would immediately recognize the fact that the Russian accent doesn't sound any goddamn thing in the world like a Turkish accent. But, you know, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, is it because the pair of recordings that we spent 2 hours on last night require all of a half hour of real human time just to listen to, just to listen to, not taking notes, not stopping, not backing up, just listen to it? Is that what it is? Do the multimillionaires in the for-profit media just not have a half an hour to dedicate to the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee selling out his country and a couple of other at least ethnic groups? They're just too time-consuming. Oh, well. Maybe. Oh, that's a huge jump. Thank you very kindly to Sailor Chip, Sailor Chick. Half of Charlene's Rudy, there's no place to hide challenge has been met. That's awesome. And, oh, thank you very kindly to Mike in Cascadia. We've only got $75 left for it. So there's $75 left on that, and I need to mention another challenge as well that we will knock out as quickly as Charlene's challenge has been met. It's none other than the F-35 challenge, courtesy of Rico in Pittsburgh. Rico in DeBerg. Rico listened to last night's program and said, "Holy shit, I'm just listening to the whole Graham thing from last night. What a corrupt piece of garbage. He's so completely in the bag for the defense contractors, it's not remotely funny. Anyway, in honor of this shit, I'd like to put forth a challenge. I'll put up an F-35 and pay another F-35 if it's met. Good Lord, we're doomed, Bob. Love and hope things are reasonably okay." Thank you, Rico. Things are not reasonably okay, but they'll... Well, you know, it was John Lennon's birthday a couple of days ago, so we'll just chalk it all up to it's getting better all the time. So once $75 more comes in to finish off Charlene's challenge, the Rudy, there's no place to hide challenge, then we'll start on the F-35 challenge, courtesy of Rico in DeBerg, and that'll finish off the week in fine form. Thank you so much, Rico, and thank you, Charlene. Oh, Ralph says, I posted a thread at Democratic Underground about this. I'm glad, because, I don't have a clicker. It's you know, it's on a telescreen and everything, but, you know, I moused over, and I couldn't find the Lindsey Graham story anywhere, so I guess that means that it has been successfully buried. Here's a quick and fun question. How thoroughly buried do you think it would be if it was the Barack Obama administration and the Democratic head of the Senate Judiciary Committee had sold out a couple of ethnicities and a country or two along the way? Any guesses? Bueller? Bueller? But that's all kind of follow-up from last night. Thank you, Darlene. Darlene says, count me in for $100 of Charlene's 200. So I think that challenge is done, with 25 toward Rico's challenge. Uh-oh. Darlene says, I do take slight issue with Charlene on your voice imitations. Don't get me wrong, Bob. I love them and laugh like hell whenever you do them. But I've been listening to you since the long ago demise of Air America, and sometimes your Rush Limbaugh's imitation creeps into the others you do.
What? My friends, I cannot believe that Darlene would say such a thing. Hand me another handful of Oxycontin. Cheer them up for the refreshing burst of flavor, my friends.
Oh, that hurts, Darlene. That hurts. So that's knocked down, and we got $10 to go on Rico's challenge. And if that all happens, we're done for the week. We are done for the week. I hate it when I have to send emails in the middle of the program. Let me help Jim here for a minute. I guess for some reason or another, TuneIn isn't picking up. I mean, we're at all these different platforms. And sometimes they work, and sometimes they don't, and oh well. Yeah, see, Sailor Chick just pointed it out. If you type in search terms, Lindsey Graham Russian prank call, something will pop up, but it's pretty low priority. Low priority. Yeah. Steve in New York with a note. Lindsey Graham, CNN.com, had the story with the recording. But that relies on Americans to read things. What I was looking for all day long, and it's not like they were lacking time, was, you know, a couple of sound bites along the way through the course of the broadcast day. Most Americans do not get their news by reading it. I mean, it's just a sad, sad fact. Well, Steve says he's on TuneIn. I don't know what's going on with Jim. I'm sorry about that. But I told Jim to tune in to HeadOn.live. Listen, if you've ever got a hard time getting the program live, go to HeadOn.live. It's bulletproof. But like I said, that's all kind of yesterday's news. And in terms of the 15-millisecond news cycle, entire continents could have subducted under each other in the time that much takes. The big news this afternoon, and we talked about this yesterday evening on the program, the big news, oddly enough, and there's other stuff to get into, and we will when we gather in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. But we had the story yesterday evening about how Bill Barr, the prosecution, had a little sit-down with Rapid Maddock, one of the greatest failings of American immigration law since the arrival of Elaine Chao. Funny how we can let in tens of thousands of ordinary working class people from other countries, but you let in a couple of millionaires and they start making things go to hell almost immediately. We should probably start referring to them both as, for instance, Elaine, failure of the immigration system, Chow, and Rape It, failure of the immigration system, Madoff. Listen, he's Australian. I get to haul out Crocodile Kincaid for all bad Australians, okay? I mean, even Robert and our buddy the Angry Architect don't bitch at me about that. So, lo and behold, a couple of days ago, Bill Barr of prosecution just happened to find himself wandering around somewhere in Manhattan, and somebody walked out a door and said, "Ah, really? Come on up here. Yeah, Mike. Yeah, come on." And Bill wandered in the door, and the next thing you know, he's sitting down across from undead, doesn't apparently have any intention of ever dying, Rupert Murdoch. And they just happened to have a little conversation. And apparently the conversation they had was about how unhappy Nitwit Nero is with the current quality of Fox News TV Radio Rwanda obsequiousness toward the aforementioned Nitwit Nero. And so this afternoon, during the slot that he's occupied for 23 years, that's 3 years short of the amount of time that Agnes and I have been married, Shepard Smith has, and we've had our fair share of fun with Shep, Shepard Smith has held down the Fox News anchor desk afternoons for 23 years. And so, lo and behold, today, 2 days after a conversation between Bill Barr of prosecution and Rupert Murdoch, Shepard Smith announced that, well, he was done. That's it. Party over. Sorry. And it came as a rather significant shock, even to folks there at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. They hadn't heard anything about it. This is how it played.
The past 23, right here, since the day we launched Fox News Channel in 1996, the opportunities afforded this guy from small town Mississippi have been many. Fox News has allowed me to travel the country and the world, gathering the facts of the day for you. At Columbine, Katrina, Iraq, Israel, Lebanon, 9/11, and every life-altering event along the way. I've met leaders, heroes, and victims of all stripes. I've witnessed and reported on the events that shaped our reality. Together with my colleagues, we've written a first draft of history and endeavored to deliver it to you while speaking truth to power without fear or favor.
I mean, some of that's utter unvarnished bullshit. I happen to remember the impeachment of Bill Clinton and the Obama years, but never mind.
In context and with perspective, I am eternally grateful for the opportunity.
And I got to give credit where credit's due. You hear those pipes? I mean, I figure he's like 5 foot nothing, but my God, he's got a set of pipes like a calliope. That is a classic broadcaster voice.
For handing me the breaking news reins as managing editor, senior correspondent, and chief news anchor for this network, I am thankful and humbled. I've worked with the most talented, dedicated, and focused professionals I've ever known. They sacrifice endlessly and tirelessly to get the news exactly right, and I am so proud of them. And I'm honored to have anchored their work each day. I'll miss them and our time together greatly and deeply. So recently, I asked the company to allow me to leave Fox News. After requesting that I stay, they obliged. Under our agreement, I won't be reporting elsewhere, at least in the near future, but I will be able to see more of Gio and Lucia and our friends and family. Then we'll see what comes along. This is my last newscast here. Thank you for watching today and over the decades as I traveled to many of your communities and anchored this program, Studio B and Fox Report, plus endless marathon hours of breaking news. It's been an honor and my pleasure. Even in our currently polarized nation, it's my hope that the facts will win the day, that the truth will always matter, that journalism and journalists will thrive. I'm Shepard Smith, Fox News, New York. 3 years.
How about that? Apparently, according to Shepard Smith, he's the one who wanted out. He asked them and they said, no, please, Shep, don't. And he said, no, I must, in that delightful stentorian voice. I must. I simply must. Yeah, there's only one problem. If somebody's leaving, and they're leaving on good terms, and they've apparently signed an NDA, well, and they're not going to go to work for anybody for a while, because shed no crocodile tears for Shepard Smith. He is a multimillionaire member of the for-profit media. Generally speaking, you don't have security escort him out. I mean, generally speaking, at the end of an illustrious career of 23 years, was Walter Cronkite at CBS, did he anchor the CBS Evening News for 23 years? I don't know. That's for the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department. But if it's a valedictory like that, you walk through the newsroom and you shake hands and some tears are shed and every now and then there's a high five. And you... But no, Shepard Smith, okay, Shep, that's great. It's time for you to clean out your desk and no, don't touch the computer, Shep. And security escorted Shepard Smith out the door at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. 2 days after, Bill Barr went to piss and moan to rape it about how offended Nitwit Nero was by the recent coverage. And curiously, last night at his Clavern rally in Minnesota, Nitwit Nero listed a gang of Fox News TV Radio Rwanda personalities whom he liked. Absent from the list was the name Shepard Smith. How about that, sports fans? Well, thank goodness he doesn't have Stalin-esque powers. Otherwise, Shepard would have been escorted to the American equivalent of the Lubyanka prison in Moscow, from whose basement, the basement of the Lubyanka was said to have had the most profound view in all the world. Because from the basement of the Lubyanka, one could see eternity. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, thanks for jumping in on the F-35 challenge, Joey. And thanks, Lady B, for finishing it all off. We're done fundraising for the week. Hallelujah. I'd like to say I'm surprised by what happened to Shepard Smith, but I'm not. Bless his heart, he was a lick spittle for the right wing for 23 long years. And you'd think in those 23 years he might have figured out that it doesn't matter. It's what you've done for them lately that matters. And he hadn't done much for the Tangerine Tiberius. And so his name was added to Silly Sulla's proscription list. Although, to be fair, it beats the hell out of having your cut-off head stuck up on the rostrum in the public square and having your tongue nailed to the wall, too. I mean, I don't think Shep's going to have a hard time figuring out. You know what? He's free. I mean, all he knows how to do is sit there and read news, but this is an opportunity for Shepard Smith to learn how to do other things. Maybe he'd like to become a pastry chef. Or an architect. The world is Shepard Smith's oyster. Right? Kyle with a note saying, so the so-called attorney general can force the ouster of a real news journalist for being critical of Dear Leader, saying facts, because Dear Leader wasn't happy about said journalist doing this? Boy, that's some Democratic Republic we got going here. Insert eye roll emoji. Yeah. But is anybody surprised? Was Shepard Smith surprised? That's like being surprised when the scorpion stings you, you frog you, as you ferry it across the river. Why'd you sting me? I was trying to help you. You knew I was a scorpion when you let me on your back. Yeah. We found out some more today about what Nitwit Nero doesn't know. For the longest time, he's been quite certain that Rudy Giuliani was his, Rudy Giuli, was his lawyer. Not so sure anymore.
Let us come meet with you.
Yeah, let's pass on the ad. Here we go.
They should have lost not one or two, but five important court cases today. The president is expressing concerns about his personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani's ties to Ukrainians, and the president is also being harshly criticized by his former ambassador to Ukraine. Let's get some insight from our...
Yeah, let's pass on the insight. Because it's not really much in the way of insight. But yeah, the guy who has spent his life losing legal cases lost another one today. This was a big one in the D.C. Circuit. 2-1. 9 innings. 97 pitches thrown. The Second Circuit Court of Appeals held that the under the court below, the federal district court, that said, nah, the accounting firm definitely has to give up your tax returns because they didn't present an argument that was worth a fuck. Well, the U.S. the U.S. D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals said, we agree. And so it sets up the following, in case anybody's all excited. The next thing that Trump's pettifoggers will do is ask for an en banc hearing from the Second Circuit Court. They will or will not be, the odds are they will not be granted that. And that means that the appeal will immediately go to the Supreme Court of the United States, where, if the actual standing law, you know, all that stare decisis bullshit, actually matters, they'll say, nope, not going to hear it. And then the tax returns will have to be turned over, not by Nitwit Nero, but by his accounting firm. And apparently Mazars is not, you know, some fly-by-night operation. And I don't think they're going to get away with what Deutsche Bank is apparently getting away with. Namely, saying that, we had them, but we don't got them no more. We lost them. The dog ate them. There was the rain, and there was a leak in the roof, and we can't find them nowhere no more. The walls are closing in on the garbage dump. And Nitwit Nero is no Luke Skywalker. And he does not command the Force. And well, if you're counting on Rudy Giuliani to be your Chewbacca, you're not counting real good. Yeah, I know. Steve in New York says, the winning is just dizzying. And yeah, a dozen. We're one more allegation away from Nitwit Nero saying, Rudy who? Never heard of the guy. Crossdresser? Crossdresser. Has a taste for mauve and platinum wigs. Yet never heard of them. Wow, just wow. So, like I said, I think, and maybe before I had the broadcast going right, buttons, you know, so many buttons. It's been a long day. And I try to be mindful of the fact that I actually know a little bit about the workings of the criminal justice system and governmental structures and whatnot. And I'm ground down to a nub after what I've been through today. Makes me think that maybe we need, I want to thank you because so many of you have written in and called in to express both sympathy and solidarity and compassion with what this little family is going through. Because many of you have been through it yourselves to one degree or another. Maybe we need to focus a little bit more, I don't know, and maybe even a separate little podcast or something on how to deal with this shit. I don't know. But thank you. Flavio is a cynic. The Supreme Court won't hear it, talking about the Mazars case that got shit-canned today by the D.C. Circuit. Of course they will, and they'll rule in Trump's favor. We don't have rule of law anymore. Well, they're going to have to engage in some jurisprudential legerdemain that will not withstand scrutiny. It will be, if they do that, it means that they're willing to burn everything to the ground, including whatever reputation the Supreme Court had remaining unto it. The easiest answer is just to not take the case on cert and not take it on emergency appeal. We shall see. Maybe Flavio's right. Or maybe this is the slow, time-consuming process by which the wheels of justice grind. But grinding, grind exceeding fine. We're not talking about grits. We're talking about flour. Steve with a note, Trump on Rudy, but he made a great cappuccino. In regard to Deutsche Bank, Steve in New York says, I think Hans Kincaid should have said, we are quite sorry, all of the tax returns have disappeared. And now Hans Kincaid has said that. Megan, subject line, nitwit Nero. Bob, I used to think Tangerine Tiberius was Darth Vader carrying out the Emperor's, a.k.a. Senator Palpatine, a.k.a. Putin's bidding. Now he's revealed himself to be Darth Helmet from Spaceballs. Oh, not now, Ron. Not now. Ron has sent grocery store porn. From the new Wegmans down Raleigh way. Ron adds, I think the words Shep Smith heard upon his departure were, dial at the doorknob, hit you where the good Lord split you. Probably something like that. Brother Deacon Asa, I think that one's already taken. Asa suggests the Focus on the Family podcast with Bob Kincaid, perhaps. I think I'd get sued before I got the first episode uploaded. I understand Flavio. Flavio says I don't assume good faith from any of the cons on the court, nor should you. Billable Rick, the Mazar case. The en banc appeal of that case would be to the D.C. Circuit, where the chief judge is... Wait for it. Wait for it. Here it comes. It'll be here in a minute. Merrick Garland, whose seat was stolen by Ann's boy Neil Gorsuch. I haven't seen who was on the three-judge panel. I can only assume that Neil Gorsuch didn't get anywhere, Merrick Garland didn't get anywhere near it, so that they couldn't piss and moan about that. Yeah, Flavio, a lot of people are saying, well, Chris Wallace, you're next, buddy. He might be. He might be. Or maybe it's just an unusual coinky-dinky, and Shep Smith was just tired of all the bullshit and wanted to go hike the Appalachian Trail or something. No real way of knowing. Subject line, truth, from David in South Carolina, Stan. A tweet from Lawrence O'Donnell. When you think of all the people Trump has betrayed in his presidency and his life, including all of his wives, it's all the more impressive that he's never betrayed Putin. Well, nobody else had polonium-tipped umbrellas, David. I mean, come on. I'd expect better of Lawrence O'Donnell. So let's toddle on over to the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable in the Holler Tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves and see what Sparky's got going on now that Sparky is back in the world from having been exiled by PG&E for a day or so. Hey, Sparky.
So you want to hear about the shutdown?
Well, I mean, I've been through. I've been through a couple of my own, but yes, please.
Yes, in detail, please.
This is California, though. So we get this phone call the afternoon before that they might have to shut down the power because of the red flag warning of wind gusts were supposed to be 40 to 50 miles an hour. But up in the mountain canyons, they say it could be up to 70 miles an hour. And that's about the same mileage that Paradise happened. And this whole thing is a result of Paradise.
Sure, let's not have that again.
So anyway, it started a minor panic in town. And everybody ran to the stores, bought all the ice, all the water. Gas stations were filled up because everybody was going to lose power. Didn't discriminate. The only grocery store in town is the one I go to that has a backup generator, I guess. It surprised me the Walmart Supercenter doesn't, but they didn't mention it in the paper. That's the only way I got news of anything going on was in the paper, because the paper is printed out of Chico. Chico didn't lose power everywhere like we did. I mean, the whole town, the majority of the county lost power. And then it didn't come back on till last night at 7 o'clock. And, of course, the internet didn't work either.
Nothing does.
So I've been waiting just before, right after 2 o'clock my time, boom, the internet comes on. I go, oh, great. So I frantically get on Skype, send a link to Ace, and he said he was going to use last week's link, which I think I... So anyway, that was that. But I mean, we got a little bit creative during the power outage. I have too many refrigerators, and they were all frosted up, you know. So I figured, here we go, defrosting time. So I collected all the ice from the mini fridge. I found some trays. I put the ice in there, and I stuck one in the refrigerator and put Judy's milk in it so it's stay cold.
You didn't suffer a lot of food loss, Duncan?
No, it's amazing. We didn't even open the freezers. Don't look in the freezers until the power's up, back on.
Wait a day after it's over.
Well, the only reason I opened the one freezer, we got two refrigerators in the house because one was ours before we moved down here, and the one was my mom and dad's refrigerator. Which comes in handy because you got all this extra space. So anyway, I just went out there and opened the freezer in there. I have a frozen gallon jug, and I put it down below by her milk. It's an extra milk that's in that refrigerator. And it kept fairly good. The one thing that was nice, it was a cool day. I mean, inside the house, it was like 63 degrees.
Nice.
So if it would have been in the middle of summer, 110, it would have been
really... Yeah, at least you wasn't sweating your balls off. That's good, man.
But if they're going to... I mean, there's a bunch of pissed off Californians. I mean, you read in the paper...
You're down.
People were giving... Every time somebody spotted a PG&E worker, they were giving him shit, flipping him the bird. And
that's kind of asshole-ish, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
I mean, would they rather have died in a massive fire?
But can't you feel their pain? Haven't you ever had an outage and seen like 10 people just hanging around with one person down in the hole and the other 10 are just smoking cigarettes, you know?
Well, actually, no. When we have an outage here, we cheer when the workers come along because, you know, our antiquated coal-fired power grid is strung on toothpicks through the woods in really hard-to-access locations. And I still remember what happened in July of 2012 when we didn't have power for 3 weeks. And meanwhile, the National Guard was deployed to pick up sticks on a goddamn golf course. Yeah, I remember that real good.
Are your lines threaded through trees?
Oh, hell yeah. Like I said, strung on toothpicks through the woods.
God damn. Well, Duncan, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I lost my place.
Well, people were cussing at the PG&E workers.
Oh, yeah. But this was Wednesday when they knew that they were, you know, because of the conditions, the guys couldn't do a damn thing. The IBEW Local 1245, which represents all the PG&E workers, took a full page ad out in our local conservative rag.
Saying, please don't shit on us.
Yeah, well, no.
It's just how we're
working people, our families will be our power too, and da-da-da-da-da, you know, try to be nice to us.
Yeah, that's kind of pathetic, isn't it?
Yeah, well, this is maggot country. There's a lot of maggots. I mean, shit,
You just nailed it right onto the door like Martin Luther. This is maggot country, and maggots don't give a fuck. They'll shit on anybody for any reason.
And they eat wounded, infection, anything. You know, they don't care.
I don't usually read the Red Bluff paper, but since I was bored and the power is out, I went to the paper, and I was reading about the 49ers and who was hurt and this and that. And then I turned to the opinion page, and there's some maggot post just boiled my blood.
Now, where you got your paper, did they have electricity, or were they on backup? Or
no, I said that, Steve. The paper.
I'm sorry, man. I'm not half there today.
The paper's owned by the same company that owns the Chico paper, and it's consolidated. They produce the Red Bluff paper out of Chico, and Chico.
Right, but I'm assuming you had to go to a store to get said paper, and I was wondering if the store had power.
No. My wife subscribes to the newspaper. She reads it every.
Oh, okay. So it was thrown at your front porch then. I got you.
No, it wasn't thrown at my porch. I have a box by my mailbox.
All right. Well, close enough.
How dare they throw your paper? They might break a window, right?
Not with this paper.
No.
Yeah, they just fold it up into an airplane and fly it generally in your direction, right?
Oh, yeah. That's called a pamphlet, not a paper. They do that.
It's maybe about 12 pages, you know, front to back. It's about all it is. But the only time it gets loaded up is with the ads on Wednesdays and Saturdays.
Oh, it's a daily, not a weekly. Okay.
Hey, Sparky. Yeah, hey, Sparky. I got something fun for you. All that yummy, delicious, wonderful weed that you guys get to buy legally in California. Guess what? Y'all is what we like to call here in the hills mobbed up. Because some enterprising journalists have done some digging around trying to find out who foreign national number one is in the indictment from yesterday of Lev and Igor. Because Lev and Igor were trying to influence the legal marijuana business.
Bob Pocono would have still
we're in the Nevada chapter.
You're funny.
That's
man.
What I heard. Levin Igor. Can you do the Russian accent, Bob?
Yes, I can if you'd like.
Please.
Love it.
In 2016, Kukushkin and Muraviev joined with Sacramento businessman named Garib Kerpetyan, who has been involved in recreational marijuana business, to create a corporation called Legacy Botanical LLC, which listed at Sacramento address, according to filing with Secretary of State in California. Y'all be smoking some mob weed.
All right.
And Grandma Millie's chili.
Same paper that there was a maggot writing a letter to the editors. There was a guy writing a letter to the city of Red Bluff. He says, "Why don't you guys sell weed and take Red Bluff?
There you go.
You can make all kinds of money and you can fix these pothole freaking roads, basically."
And what's been all over the news, Duncan, is why don't they bury the lines, which is something you and I have been preaching for the last 10 years, ever since we met, you know?
How tough is that?
That's not that easy.
Oh, I know, but it can be done. You can even bury substations, you know? You can bury everything.
They do it in Europe, I guess. How much can't have good stuff here.
How much dynamiting do you want to go on in your neighborhood?
It depends. How much do you like being without electricity?
Well, no. Seriously, I mean,
the electricity in Europe, remember, is only 50 cycles.
But they're only out like 2 minutes a year on the average per house. We're out in the States over close to a week. I'd have to research that. That's old stats, but I mean, it's ridiculous, you know.
Well, I tell you what, henceforth, anytime I feel jealous about what's going on, you know, with the legal weed in California, henceforward, I'm going to think, well, you know what, at least if I buy me an illegal bag over here, I'm going to buy it from somebody, some hillbilly motherfucker that raised it up a hill, up a holler somewhere, and I ain't going to be buying it from Lev and Igor, and I ain't going to be smoking none of that mob weed.
Just don't get pinched, because as we've already talked about, the wheels of justice move slow. I've been caught in them, man, and they do move slow. And I feel
that's one of the things that we recently found out is that in addition to the other charges.
Oh my God, it's so slow.
Hey, Steve, you want to hear this?
Yes, sir. Please.
Yeah, in addition to the other charges that my son is facing, he just happened to have a bag of weed in his pocket when he got pinched.
Oh, my God. Oh. And they're going to, oh, man, they're going to make him go to DUI school and therapy and all this bullshit. Oh.
None of which would do him a damn bit of harm.
Well, okay, good. That's good.
I mean,
he wasn't DUI.
He just happened to commit domestic assault and domestic battery against his mother and me. That's all.
I know people who've gotten pinched in their own house with a little bit of weed, and they made them go to defensive driving school, which had nothing to do with each other. You know?
if I could figure out some way for my son to actually not drink and not smoke dope, and actually get in touch with who the hell he is for the first time in fucking years, it would not be the worst thing that ever happened on Earth.
Be patient, Bob. He'll find himself, man. But he's got to find his own path.
Right.
You
and
can't push him.
He's got to sober up first. And that includes not smoking weed. Because, see, there's a myth out there. You know, those of us of a certain age, we smoked a certain kind of weed. What's out there now? Shit.
Oh my gosh.
I can get high thinking about it. Okay? It's that strong. And you've got an entire generation, not to sound like an old fuddy-duddy or a geezer or anything, but you've got an entire generation of young people who have been told that weed is absolutely benign, absolutely harmless, and it's not. It's just not.
Well, it's like anything. It too much of it in excess.
Exactly.
Will hurt you.
And alcohol's worse, though. Alcohol's much worse.
Well, even with the alcohol, Rick, you got to find the balance.
Rick, I'll even Rick, my brother, I will even go toe to toe with you on that.
Seriously.
Yeah, seriously. Because because you can sober up from alcohol overnight.
Okay.
But I can tell you for a fact with what we've been living, that the weed that's out there, and of course we're smoking black market weed. All kidding aside, who knows what's been sprayed on it or done to it or whatever. But I can tell you for a fact that there are people in this community that smoke every day constantly, and if they do not have it every day constantly, they are prone to flying into fits of unmitigated rage.
Oh, well, we're talking non-recreational here. We're talking dependent kind of Yes, we are. Okay. That's a problem. And, yeah. You know, anytime you have to have something, it's a problem.
Right. And so the only way to get free of that is to get clean of that.
True. Okay.
So you don't think there will be any sense of balance for Ferg in this weed thing?
No, he's got to stop everything for a while.
Mm. Yeah, I agree.
He's got to reset to zero.
But what if he suffers chronic pain and you know, I'm just throwing hypotheticals out, and marijuana will help him deal with his chronic pain 20 years from now.
Well, 20 years from now is one thing. Right now is an entirely different.
Mm-hmm. I understand. Yeah. I'm not trying to be a fly that pisses in the ointment either. I'm just throwing out scenarios.
No, I get it. I get it. But I mean, I've been on a hell of a learning curve for almost 2 weeks now.
I know. It's been tough on you, brother. I know it has been. My heart goes out to you, man. There's so much grief in the world right now. And then we got this monster orange Frankenstein that we got to deal with, too, on top of fucking everything, you know?
That's enough to wear you out without having other issues going on.
Right. It seems like everything's just piling on now. It's a wonder people aren't just having nervous breakdowns left and right, and they probably are because that's not what makes the news, you know?
Well, yeah. It was kind of nice being out of the loop for almost 2 days.
Wow. Yeah, see?
Yeah, yeah, see? You got to unplug sometimes.
So you're okay without being without electricity? See, Duncan, I can't even flush my toilets, man, without a well. I guess you just pee outside, huh?
Well, that's what I did.
What else can you do?
I saved up gallon milk jugs and water, and I filled it. A container with water, and I just told Judy, I said, the old saying, if it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. I got that from a big party I went to one time.
Western time zone.
A place called Green Acres Ranch. They had two toilets right next to each other, but that was about it. And that's where the sign was in the bathroom. It said, if it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down.
Yeah, I've seen that a million times. I mean, you've got your electric companies like Con Ed. They service all New York. And Georgia Power services all Georgia. BG&E services the Baltimore metro area. And then PG, that's Pacific Gas and Electric. And then you got your co-ops, and I don't know if there's any difference. Or does anybody know?
Well, no, there's a difference. There's a big damn difference, Steve. The for-profit utilities dedicate a certain portion of the monies that come in to servicing their goddamn shareholders.
And you don't think the co-ops do that?
Well, the co-ops do it, but not in the same way. You know, what we're having here is a huge argument in favor of, I don't know, let's call it Power America. Let's nationalize the damn grid. Let's take the profit motive out of it. Everybody will be paid a fair wage. The people who administer it will not be eating beans. They'll live in a nice house in the burbs somewhere. But you know what they're not going to do? They're not going to get a Christmas bonus of a couple of bajillion dollars and go out and buy a solid gold goddamn Ferrari.
Or they're not going to take that money and pump it back into Steve and Bob's infrastructure and do it and get it right so, you know, we're not out of power every time the wind fucking blows.
Right. And see, I think what pissed people off out in Sparky's neck of the woods is that they felt like maybe it wasn't necessary after all, or maybe it, you know, like Sparky said, got a lot of maggots up here.
Yeah.
And a maggot would let an entire community burn to the ground and 1,000 people die as long as... What the fuck is that?
Jesus Christ.
A maggot,
I don't know who it was.
A maggot would let 1,000 people die in a town burn to the ground as long as their power didn't go out. That's how maggots are. They have no sense of community. They have no sense of being all in it together. But if we had a nationalized grid, and that's definitely what we need, then we would be able to solve problems as they arise. And if that nationalized grid was fundamentally grounded on solar and wind, the problem almost begins to solve itself.
Well, I've read, and it hadn't been too long ago, that the majority of our technology... I don't mean to make a blanket statement for the whole United States, but the majority of our grid technology is still from the 50s or
yes, it's antiquated.
It's ridiculously antiquated.
And you know why it's antiquated? Because all of the money has gone into the shareholders' pockets and not into the infrastructure.
It should go back into the infrastructure. In a perfect world, there should not even be any shareholders when it comes to something as important as keeping the lights on, because all houses are made now for electricity. If you don't have it, you're screwed. Especially in the summertime.
Yeah.
I mean, if we lost air conditioning here in Georgia in the summer, you couldn't live here. For more than a day or two.
We didn't have any heat because our furnace has to be running with electricity.
Yeah.
And yet, curiously, Steve, what you just said, you know, if it wasn't for air conditioning, nobody could live here. And yet, curiously, a lot of people lived there before air conditioning.
They had high ceilings, though, Bob. And
yeah,
they built their
houses. Right, right.
Strategically.
They built wisely. They
right.
had poured, they
the
had porches and high ceilings,
front,
and they paid
right.
attention to the southern exposure right. and the northern exposure. They knew where the wind was coming from, as opposed to developers who just come in and say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to put 2,000 houses here, right here.
All cookie-cutter houses are going to look the same.
I mean, if you get on Google Earth and you look, for instance, at neighborhoods in Florida, I'm going to need the Horn ad hoc research department for this one, but the guy who designed all the visual elements of Alien, okay? You know who I'm talking about? Can't think of his name. Swiss guy, I think. But everything was made up of little tiny chunks. And if you look at any overdeveloped part of America, they all look like something that was designed by him. They look like growths. They look like cancers.
Is it H.R. Geiger?
That's Bob? The one. That's the one. Yeah. If you go on Google Earth and just, you know, zoom in on Florida anywhere, it all looks like a drawing by Geiger.
And now they're coming up with 3D houses, you know, this 3D technology where they used to print up, you know, 3D weapons and everything. Now they're applying that to houses and communities. So I only see it getting worse before it gets better, unless they take the technology and try to improve and take into consideration the shortcomings of our infrastructure.
Sure.
So, but anyhow, I don't mean to monopolize the conversation.
Well, no, I mean, I guess it's a little bit of a different sensation for, say, me versus some maggot in the state of Jefferson, because we lose power all the time. I mean, I've got a real time record in the archives of this program for when we have.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating as hell.
Internet. I mean, they all lie on one, relies on the other. I didn't have any TV for the last 3 days, which is no big deal. I mean, people out on electricity are suffering without anything. I'm just saying the infrastructure is melting down, you know.
Well, yeah, and that's truly it. But the thing is, Steve, that's to be expected because it's a 1950 infrastructure that was not meant to last this damn long. Back in 1950, we had this notion that we could do things and we could make things better, and however things were, they were going to be better later. And we quit. We fucking quit.
We gave up. We got complacent, didn't we?
Thank you, Ronald Reagan. Once we got to the moon, I think we stayed there, guys.
Who just said thank you, Ronald Reagan?
No, that was Joey.
Hey, Joey, what's going on, man?
What's up, Joe?
Yeah, well, thanks to Ronald Reagan, instead of the money going to the people and going to the infrastructure, it's going to the fucking CEOs. You know, we don't rebuild anything. We just line their fucking pockets.
Well, I mean, there's truth in that, Joey, but that's not Reagan. That's capitalism.
No, Reagan got it all started. He kicked it all off.
But there were
there were
for-profit power companies, the Southern Company, Alabama Power, Georgia Power, right. Mississippi Power. Before that ever happened. Okay, the TVA is a different thing. That's a specific geographic region.
Right.
But you know, what we're talking about is the pernicious influence of the profit motive on things that the profit motive should never touch.
Like health insurance. Health, number one.
No, not health insurance. Fuck insurance. Health care. Health care. Electricity. Water. You know, necessities of daily living.
You got it. Hey, did you get my little, I sent a little donation in.
Yeah, it landed, and I announced it and said thank you.
I've been out of here. I'm down at the casino, and all that noise was a drummer just started banging on his drum. So Rico, hey, if you're here, man, come on down to the casino here. Let's hook up here and have a Long Island or two.
Rico's in DeBerg.
Yeah, I am too.
There's a casino in DeBerg.
Is that Pittsburgh? You're talking about Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in Pittsburgh right downtown. The Rivers Casino.
The Riverboat.
Rivers Casino.
Riverboat Gambling, Bob.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
It's right on the beautiful Ohio River here.
Have you won $10,000 or $15,000 yet?
My buddy has. He's over there winning money. I just sit over here. Mind my own business.
Well, hell, maybe you could like find someone else and have like a 3-person horn in there from the riverboat and call into the show, Joe.
Hey, I travel everywhere to try and get the horny people going here. So,
well, and Rico is generally a podcast listener. So,
well, that's too bad. I'd love to meet him.
No, Rico's great people.
By the way, you killed all the fucking time zones with the yellow, whatever that was, and the what the fuck? They're all gone now. Nobody can eat tonight.
Which? What did I do? I wasn't even paying attention.
No, yeah, Steve, are you guys talking about if it's yellow, let it mellow, or whatever?
Oh, no, that's... Oh, hold on. That's not on me, brother.
We lost that's all Sparky. The time, though. Yeah, nobody's eating tonight, I'll tell you. What are you, Sparky?
Hey, that's just the standard thing to do when you can't flush your toilet.
Yeah.
You want to save water.
Well, I hear you. You can either save water or destroy your toilet. I always choose to keep my toilet and get rid of the water, you know?
Hey, Rick, so yeah, now what?
I just come out here by the man cave and water all around.
Oh, Rick, geez. There's a fire in Porterville. That's up northwest L.A., isn't it? What the hell's going on?
Yeah, Tracy sent a note and said, listening in, let everyone know the fires are close, but we're fine.
Yeah. Yeah, they're about 8 or 10 miles west of me. So on down the 210 freeway on the, I guess, the south side of the 210, if anybody knows L.A. geography.
You got the Santa Ana's going?
Yeah, we have the winds. You guys gave us the damn winds, Sparky. Thanks.
Wait a minute. Okay.
No, wait.
Hey, by the way, I had a note from Chris in Germany who said, was talking about why she tunes into the program, talking about last night's detailed analysis of Lindsey Graham giving up the United States, and she said, that and the singing. So, wait a minute. Here come those Santa Ana winds again. So that's tonight's singing.
Okay, yeah. Cowbell.
Rick,
don't you guys stop, Bob.
You guys have had Santa Ana winds for a long time before we started having these freaking winds up here this time of year.
What do you guys call the winds up there? They're not. They have a different name than Santa Ana. Are they like, is it Diablo or what's it called?
No, Diablo is in the Bay Area.
Oh, okay.
Go
ahead. I don't think they have a name for them up here except now goddamn wind.
Hang on. I gotta solve this. And I don't.
Sing,
I don't can. Have it. I don't have it in me to sing.
Yes,
but
yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Come on, Bob. Karaoke, Bob.
Yeah, he can. He's got a good voice.
Okay, so, all right. So, the Broadway musical Paint Your Wagon was actually shot in Oregon. And there's a beautiful ballad in there. Oh, God, I'm so embarrassed. Away out here.
Call the winds Mariah.
Away out here, they've got a name. For rain and wind and fire. The rain is Tess, the fire's Joe, and they call the wind Mariah. There. Mariah.
Dude can sing, man. Everybody pokes at him, but he can sing.
Mariah.
Yeah, but I'm not in gold country, so we can't call it that. This is not.
And I'm so lost, so goddamned lost. Not even God can find me. Yeah.
Well, go on, don't stop.
No, I can't do the chorus. That just hurts.
Okay. Right.
You know where you have to shriek the name Mariah? No, can't do that. My goddamned audio player would let. Son of a bitch. Windows Media Player is not responding because they don't make it for 64-bit systems, you bastards! It was a perfectly good media player, but they wouldn't expand it to the 64-bit version of Windows.
No.
Fuckers.
I love Windows Media Player. Yeah, they're dicks, man.
Hey, Scotty.
Mariah.
They call the wind Mariah.
Jesus Christ.
What movie is that?
Paint Your Wagon, you heathen.
Oh, I know. Bob.
What's that from?
The voice.
What play is that from? What are you talking about here?
Oh, no. Okay. Okay, Steve, thank you for blowing smoke up my ass. I just got a note from Flavio saying, "Dear God, Bob, don't sing."
Well, me and Flavio must have different ears because I think you got a good singing voice. It's just me, you know.
To quote the late Ted Mack, host of the original Amateur Hour, Send your cards to Box 191, Radio City Station, New York, New York.
Attention, Jesus. Scott.
Yes.
Jeez, Mr. Peabody's here again.
Oh, God. Here we go. Here we go.
And Scotty,
Here. Let's just get this out of the way. We'll just fuck up the we'll fuck up the file and everything, and just do it. Harv, the guy who did it oh so well, Harv Presnell.
Yeah.
Nah, fuck that. I at least want to, if I'm going to do this, I want to at least watch the movie.
What was the movie?
Paint Your Wagon.
Oh, Paint Your Wagon, okay.
Yeah, with Clint Eastwood.
Oh, fuck that, too. Hold on.
What year was that?
Oh, a million
That's,
years ago.
69, I think, was the movie.
DC?
All right, don't start with me.
Sends the clouds a flying. Mariah makes the mountains sound like folks were up there dying. Mariah, they call the wind Mariah.
Of course, the movie version of Paint Your Wagon is famous for one particular thing, and that is it's the only musical that ever called on Clint Eastwood to fucking sing.
Was that Oklahoma?
No,
Bob.
I know.
What's the famous beaver hunt line?
I don't know, I've never seen this before, but I got to see this. I got to hear this. The Smothers Brothers doing Mariah.
I was just going to recommend that.
We would like to do a ballad, my brother and myself, combining our voices as once we did long ago. And sing a ballad entitled Machaya.
What?
Machaya. Machaya is an Israeli folk song describing
you're wrong,
incredible.
Wait a minute. It's not Machaya, it's Mariah.
It's Machaya.
No. Excuse me. It's Mariah, it's not Machaya.
You just about said Machaya.
Yeah, I was thinking it's Mariah and it's not Israeli folk
you don't
song.
Des-
it's not an Israeli folk song.
It's an Israeli folk song.
It is
song.
Not. It's not from Israel. It's Dutch. It's an old Dutch folk song from Holland. And it's entitled They Call the Wind Mariah. Not Machaya.
Right. This is we'd like to do for you. It's an old Dutch folk song,
right?
From the Israeli section of Holland.
Saw that one coming from a mile away.
And it tells how important the wind is. I'm working the windmills in this section of Holland. Five-starred windmills, blown by the wind. And it's also, though, a love story, a beautiful love story about this young couple, very much in love, skipping gaily across grass-covered slopes. Hand in hand. And the story actually tells how they're having a picnic under one of these great five-winged windmills. The sky was blue and love shone out of their young, bright eyes as they looked in the skies and saw the bluebird.
Jesus, I can only take so much stupid.
Well, you know, Tommy Smothers was a big proponent for LSD. Did you know that in real life he was?
I don't have any problem believing that.
Oh, God. But,
right,
you know, the
Lee Marvin and Clint Eastwood, I guess, was the
1969. Yeah, but Lee Marvin sings in the show.
Oh, no. If I ever got a chance, I've never sung in a musical in my life, but if I ever got a chance, I would gladly play Ben Rumson in Paint Your Wagon, because you don't have to be able to sing, and you're walking in the footsteps of Lee Marvin at the same time. How is that not winning?
Hand me down that can of beans. You remember that one?
That was the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band.
Yeah.
Or as my father called them at the time, the Nitty Gritty Filth Band, because they wouldn't get a haircut.
Who the hell wrote that play? I got to look that up.
Well, they were a jug band, more or less, the way they started out. Who here has experienced LSD? Raise your hand.
Okay, my hand's raised, but let me say this.
Well, don't give yourself away. Fred is listening. It's still illegal.
He can't see. Nobody's got any video on. I hope not.
No, but Sparky just said, I'm raising my hand.
I'm raising both of mine.
By the way, can I clear something up here?
In 1969, I went to go to the movies with a date to see Paint Your Wagon at the State Theater here in Red Bluff.
Were you tripping?
Hey, can I?
Not then.
Oh, okay.
Oh, all God, right. the end of that movie is just heartbreaking.
Gosh, kill him, you
Ben Rumson, who spent his life wandering around from, I was born under a wandering star, and he has to stay put. Oh, that's hard. Oh, I just had a note in from Megan, subject line, singing. I triple dog dare you to sing Maria from West Side Story on air tonight. I have some scruples, Megan.
For us. A place.
Yeah, but Bob, she triple dog dare you. Your manlyhood's at stake, man.
Hey, Bob, I want to clear something up here if I could.
Well, you know what? If that's the case, I'll just put on the lace skirt and have done.
Okay. Too funny.
There went my manliness.
But when you're triple dog dared, I mean.
Well, yeah, I mean, and there's only one response, you know.
Hey, Bob.
How y'all doing? Okay, good. I mean, shit, now I have to sing Off the Wall by Michael Jackson.
Oh, there you go. Can anybody hear me?
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, we can hear you, brother. Okay. Go.
Yeah. Hey, I just want to clear something up there. When I was out there in California, my wife was out there with me, and what happened was she put the cannabis California Dreamin' in my what I thought was my rum and coke container.
Oh, so you got poisoned with mob weed.
I thought I was drinking rum and coke, but I was drinking California Dreamin' whatever, a cannabis. And
rum
boy,
and coke.
That screw things up. That's what I'll tell you. You can have the cannabis. I'll just stick with my rum and coke. That cannabis is pretty wild, but that's what happened.
Well, of course it is. It's financed by the Russian mob.
It gives me tachycardia, but it does help with pain.
I don't think it all is, Bob.
Well, how can you figure out what's not?
Well, I know there's a shitload.
It's trial and error. Trial and error, man. You just got to keep trying till you find the right strain.
I'll just stick with the Long Islands. They're safe.
Well, yeah, you know what you're getting. Although I did get a bottle of Maker's Mark that had skunked. I called them, and they're going to send me a check. Bastards.
Wait, it had skunked?
Yeah. You know how, have you ever had a skunked bottle of wine, Bob, where it just tastes like an attic or real musty or anything?
Oh, no, yeah, I've had bad beer, and I didn't know that could happen to whiskey.
Yes, it can, and I didn't know it either. It's the first time it ever happened in my lifetime, but Karen doesn't drink, and I even said, what do you taste in this? She's like, attic flowers, you know? I was like, oh, man. So I called him.
God damn, it tastes like a Eudora Welty short story.
I called him the next day. They made me read a bunch of numbers off the bottom of the bottle. I could barely see them, you know. But and they said, yeah, okay, we'll send you a check. So if that ever happens to anybody, yeah.
Well, you know, that's what happens. Check, that's what happens when a massive Japanese corporation buys a Kentucky distillery.
You know what, Bob? I think I'm going to have to take a deep dive into the internet to find out how many growers' licenses there are in this state.
You know, I think you'd being as how you're a consumer, I think that would not be a terrible idea for you, Sparky.
I know there's a lot in Humboldt County, and I don't think they're mobbed with the Russians.
No, but there's apparently a good chance that,
because every state out here has their own market now. I mean, Oregon was just, their market was just flooded. You could buy shit cheap up there. And I know those two nitwits they're talking about on the news. They were doing something with somebody in Nevada.
Yeah, but everything was registered in California.
Oh. Okay.
I mean, it's a little too much to think that the mob wouldn't want to get in on that, because they've been in on it from, you know, jump.
Yeah, but each state has their own licensing.
Right. So here's a question. Let's say you're close enough to Oregon to go to Oregon and buy some dirt cheap flooded market doobie. Can you get busted bringing it back into California?
That's a good question.
Only if they stop and check your car out.
Well, I mean, like you know, I grew up 11 miles from the Tennessee state line. It didn't matter if it was legal in Tennessee. If you had it in Alabama, you's busted. Tennessee tax stamps and all.
There's still dry counties in Alabama, Bob, but I doubt they pinch you now for having a sealed container.
Yeah, they would.
If it's sealed.
If it's got another state's tax stamp on it, it is by God bootleg, Steve.
No shit.
Because I grew up in one of them dry counties.
I knew around Lake Gunnersville, all around there was dry, man. We couldn't find a drink anywhere, you know.
Do you have state border inspection stations?
No.
Alabama has ABC stores, don't they, Bob?
No. They got rid of the. Well, it depends on the county, but no, it's all retail now.
Virginia still has them.
Here in California.
By the way, Dave, who would know, just wrote in and said Humboldt Russian Mafia is real. Just, you know, take it for what it's worth.
Not surprised. Hi, hey. Guys.
Hey, Tracy.
Oh, hey, Tracy.
All I know is the store I go to has a state license to sell it.
What?
Here we go.
Go, Tracy.
There's a place for us. And the rest. So there you go.
Okay,
no,
so,
don't stop.
So we've satisfied the West Side Story requirement. Very
God
good, thank
damn,
you.
Tracy, you can say
Maria, I just met a girl named Maria.
So, cause I would sing more, but I don't know all the words. So, but
I used to, stop it.
They never listen to me.
No, it's not never. They don't. I know the words. I talk to the trees, but they don't listen to me. Because he flatted that whole fucking song, okay?
You know, the Smothers Brothers also do a pretty good parody of I Talk to the Trees.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait. We've got a sociology question here. Cultural exchange question. Robert in Australia asks the following. Robert, is it okay if I do Crocodile Kincaid? I'm going to assume that's yes. As an Australian, can I just ask what the hell is a draw canny? Might be. What the fact? Oh, no, Robert. No. No, they still exist all over the country, primarily in the South. A dry county is a county in which you cannot buy so much as a bottle of wine or a bottle of beer, and a bottle of liquor is just not going to happen. And they even look at you askance, the Southern Baptists do.
But you can't travel through with it if you're going from
When,
that blows my mind.
No, no, no.
I'm sorry, Bob.
You can buy vanilla extract and lemon extract in the spice aisle, and that's it. Maybe cooking sherry.
But you can't go from point A to point B without making a detour.
Oh no! If it's got that state's tax stamp on it, it's okay.
Okay, as long as it's not open. Now, if it's open, you're probably hosed.
No, that's open container. That's a different story.
Well, if it's in your trunk, my lawyer told me if it's in your trunk, they can't get you on open container.
Well, right, because they'd have to get a search warrant in order to find out it's in your trunk.
I said, what if you're in a van? He said, if you're going to haul booze, don't get a van.
Oh, wait a minute. We've got a little criticism coming in from Lady B. Subject line: for Christ's sakes, is it only me, you, and Billable Rick who recognize a Steely Dan song when they hear it? Babylon Sisters, shake it. Yeah, because Tracy gets it too. Tracy gets it too.
Tracy can sing. I didn't know that. Good gosh. You have
Here
to sing us another bar.
Here comes Santa and a Windsor can.
Is that the one where you go west on Sunset?
Go west on Sunset to the sea. Turn that jungle music down just until we're out of town. Yes.
Yeah, Joey knows it too.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, Sunset starts right at Dodger Stadium. And it's you just go west, and it's quite a drive through Hollywood and all the Brentwood and Bel Air and right to all the way out to Malibu. It's a nice little.
Oh, wait. We got a singing competition going on here, and I got to get Agnes in here. Y'all are going to have to talk amongst yourselves for a minute, because singing, two from Megan, asked Tracy to sing Once Upon a Dream from Sleeping Beauty.
Tracy sounds like Rosemary Clooney, man.
Wait,
I didn't know she could sing that good. Yeah, please.
Once Upon a Dream?
Tracy's got great pipes.
Yeah, but y'all got to keep talking, because I got a treat for you. Stand by.
I don't know Once Upon a Dream. Wait. Oh, wait. I don't know. I think I know it, but I don't know it. I think if some a few bars, I was just singing. It was so funny because I was driving to that.
You were spitballing, but damn, man, you.
I don't know. The problem with me.
You
is,
turned
I
mean, my head. You can sing.
There's words to, I know I'm a great karaoke singer, because as long as I have the words, I'm good. But I'm not good at remembering words without
Well, most of them don't. If you'll notice, most of them look at the floor. There's a teleprompter in the stage.
Mm-hmm. What is that? Rick, I was driving early yesterday, and I had a really good playlist, because I had to drive from the Valley to Palmdale and back yesterday. Thank God I got home before they shut down all the freeways.
Oh, they shut down the 118 completely.
Yep.
So, Mark, October 10th, start of the Southern California fire season. This is the first day of it. Yesterday was last night.
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, yeah.
Down the Ronald Reagan Freeway?
Yeah, they did. And it wasn't because old 666 had kind of risen from the dead, you know?
Motherfucker. I refuse to call it. I refuse to say his name.
I refuse to drive on it.
Yeah, there you go. On principle. Take Foothill Boulevard instead, right, Joe?
Well, I'll tell you, Rick,
Who was that congressman who tried to get something in every city or county named for Reagan? It was either congressman. Yes, I know.
Orbacher or someone like that.
All right, you guys. I have something really, really special for y'all.
Agnes is going to sing. Everybody, pipe down.
All right, Agnes, please. Take it away.
She walked out onto the stoop the other day and sang this to me, and I thought my heart would melt. Because I am married to the Little Mermaid.
I'm a hoarder.
She's a hoarder.
Don't do that.
Well, you gotta, honey, you gotta sing into the microphone.
No, I don't.
Was that it?
Look at
no.
this stuff.
No. Here, everybody hush.
What are you doing? Look at this stuff. Isn't it neat? Wouldn't you think that my complexion's complete? My complexion. The girl who has everything. I've got gadgets and gizmos aplenty. Who's it's and what's it's and more. Thingamabobs? I've got one. I've got plenty. Go ahead. I can't do any more.
No. You're being bashful.
I am not. Well, I did it for you.
Awesome.
But there you go.
Well, thank you, Agnes. The Horn family.
Cowbell.
Oh, okay.
Talented, man. We can put on a talent show.
You've been awarded a cowbell, dear. Oh, we got a curtsy.
There you go. That was awesome. Thank you, Miss Agnes.
Love you.
Wow. I didn't know we had such talent in the Horn. We could put on a talent show and pay for our trip under the bridge. That would work.
Yeah, trip under the bridge. Hanging out with the boys under the bridge, drinking the screw top wine. Is that what you're talking about, Steve?
Yeah. Yeah, and for to pay our fare, we would just we'd put on a show. We could do it.
When I was a kid here, we used to go under the bridge to smoke grapevines.
And what happens when you smoke grapevines? I'm just curious.
I don't remember.
You feel great.
It must have worked.
We just thought it was cool.
I mean, we scraped banana peels at one point.
We were in grammar school. And we just rode our bikes out down. We got these two sloughs right by our house. And the one has a big, huge section of grapevines that grow there. And you get the dried grapevine and you can smoke it.
You got to know when to hold 'em.
Know when to smoke 'em.
Know when to fold 'em. Know when to walk away. Know when to run.
See, you're a pro, Steve. That's no fair.
No, I was triple dog dared. I had to, Bob. My manlyhood was on the line.
Well, mine was on the line a little bit ago, and it seems to be just fine, thanks.
Yeah, well, you did good.
Hey, Bob, did you say your son threw a left hand at 50 miles an hour at 7 years old?
Yes.
Did he continue try to continue his baseball career? Or?
I tried, but no, it petered out.
Just wasn't for him, huh?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, he's one of those gifted people because, what, he plays guitar right-handed, throws left-handed. He can use both sides of his body. That's a sign of a gifted person.
Yeah, it is. He's extremely gifted. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff that often is a fellow traveler with all that giftedness.
Yeah. Well, Bob, I just want to say to you that, you know, you question what you did or didn't do. I don't think the young man would be alive if it weren't for two nurturing, loving parents like you and Agnes. So you did everything right. Sometimes nature just doesn't, does you wrong, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I mean, there's nature and there's nurture. And then there's here. The fact of the matter is, I've looked back on a number of occasions. You know, I wasn't raised here. I was raised down in a curiously civilized little corner of Alabama. I mean, good schools, white privilege, all of that. And we made a conscious decision to raise our family here, and it was one of the worst decisions we've ever made in our lives.
Mm. Well,
the school system was horrible. The culture is bad. And it just blew up in our faces. But I want to thank Kyle. Kyle says, good job, Agnes. This is why I love the Horn. You never know what you're going to hear from any of the Horn family members at a given moment. Yeah, and I'm lucky. I was outside. I was doing something on the griddle, and Agnes stood on the stoop, and she wasn't nervous or anything. Cause she was all nervous because y'all are out there, and she just stood on the. Look at this stuff, isn't it neat? And I hollered back, Ariel, that's a toothbrush. Oh no, don't. No, Ariel, no. And we have as much or more than our fair share of struggles, but we do smile a considerable amount, and there's a little ritual that goes. If you've ever read Twain's The Biography of Adam and Eve, every time Adam gets to Sunday, he says, pulled through. And so over the last several years, after the program is over and I've pulled all the pots down and everything and shut everything down, Agnes will usually be in the bedroom and I'll yell, pulled through, at the end of the program. And she responds, best time of the day. And it is. It is. Because as soon as I've got the uploads done and everything, I flee the studio and we sit there and we watch something in bed and just enjoy each other's company. And by the way, we have now completed the watching of Goliath.
Wow. Don't ruin it for us, Bob.
Oh, I'm only ruining it for Steve.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Did you like it? I've watched it.
Of the three, I liked it the very least.
Yeah, I can understand that.
It seemed like it kind of. I don't know. I felt like the writers were reaching and they were trying to turn it into. They were trying to tap into a sort of Twin Peaks vibe. Does that make sense to you, Sparky?
I never watched Twin Peaks.
And it just fell flat, right? It was too much imitation, huh?
Well, it didn't fall flat. I mean, Billy Bob Thornton doesn't know how to do a bad job. And the ensemble cast around him was pure prose. I mean, you know, when you got Graham Greene and Dennis Quaid and several... And my God, the woman who plays, I can't remember her name. The woman who plays Patty Salice Papagian.
Just that line.
Oh, she is something.
She is. And if you, and Sparky, if you look up her resume, she's destined for greatness.
I can't sing tonight. I'm
going to
start choking.
Mr. Bob.
Yes, Steve.
Karen's. Was going to sing a verse of an Irish ditty for you. Would that be okay? Or?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Belt it out.
All right,
Miss Karen. Here. How about Cletus? Is he around to sing too?
She. Cletus is a she.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, Karen.
What's up? Hey, Bob.
How are you?
Hey, Karen. How you
doing? Hey. Oh, I'm doing fine. Don't have to work tomorrow, so I'm cool. What's up with you guys?
Everything.
Apparently, we're singing show tunes.
There you go.
Oh, show tunes. Okay, you got to think of a show tunes.
No. The Irish ditty is just fine.
Oh, the Irish ditty?
Yeah.
That's only one line. The one line?
Yeah.
No, you got to come up with the rest of the song. That's dumb. Oh, there's nothing like whiskey to make maidens frisky. It'll soon separate all the men from the boys. That's the only... That's
oh,
only
well that. Well done, Ms. Karen. Well done.
That's the only part of song I remember. Give me the words, Steve.
Well, being how it's a song about whiskey, that's not at all surprising.
That's right. He doesn't have the words. Oh, my. All right. Well, he knows something to sing. He's always up for a song. Sing something, Steve. Show tunes. Okay, here you go.
That was Miss Karen doing her Irish.
That was lovely.
Yeah, she can sing, but, you know, most people that can sing, you get, it's like pulling teeth out of them to get them to sing, you know?
Well, because everybody's really, really, really self-conscious about it.
Yeah, but who cares? We're having fun. I mean, it's not like we're in a talent contest or anything.
Well, we could have a horn talent contest, now that you mention it, Steve.
Yeah. Under the bridge, yeah, we could have a show. We wouldn't, that could pay for our fare, yeah. You know.
Why not?
Hey, you know, yeah, you know what? In honor of Ms. Karen, this. Stand by. Intro you can give the weather over. Partly cloudy tonight, lows
of... She was a friend to me when I needed one. Wasn't for her, I don't know what I've done. She gave me back something that was missing in me. She could have turned out to be almost anyone. Almost anyone. Possible exception of who I wanted her to be.
I just thought about that, you know, because, you know, Ms. Karen decided to come and sing for us.
So, is that Billy Joel?
Oh, Jackson Brown.
That's Jackson Brown. Bite your tongue. Billy Joel does not get played on this program.
Oh, wow.
Really? Hey. What do you have against Billy Joel?
In honor of the memory of Anthony Bourdain, who fired anyone he caught playing Billy Joel. Billy Joel does not get played on this program.
Okay.
Are you serious? He fired anybody that would play Billy? Are you really?
Yes.
Did him and Billy Joel have a fight? What? I mean, what?
No, he just hated him.
Your standards. You got to have your standards, Tracy.
He just hated him because it's Drek.
Oh, okay, well, I guess I like Drek. I like Billy Joel. Yeah.
I actually, there was a period of time when there was a rock station in L.A. that made fun of Billy Joel and refused to play him, but they got over that, and I kind of have, too. I appreciate him more than I used to because the guy's a hell of a composer.
Oh, no, there are some that's fun. Scenes from an Italian restaurant is
well,
lovely.
You know what, Rick, Bob, and everybody
Gentleman
else
is a great song.
Any song that has a lyric and the microphone smell like a beer is okay in my book.
You know? You go. That works.
Well,
that
wait
works.
A minute. Okay, and the microphone smelled like a beer? That's okay in your book?
Yeah, no, that's in Piano Man. And the microphone smelled like a beer. You don't remember that lyric?
Yeah, I do remember that lyric. I do remember that lyric, but what if somebody did it? What if somebody did it even cooler? I mean, not that song, but you know, talk about expanding on an idea. We're just tap dancing. YouTube's just going to shit all over us tonight.
Man.
No, this.
I got two words. I got two words, Bob. Fuck YouTube.
Well, yeah, and
that's why
we've got like 12. We've got 12 listeners on YouTube, so it doesn't much matter.
Yeah, there you go.
Check this out.
She never did say she could sing, but I figured it so. I needed some company then, not sisters or children. That's a hell of a.
She smelled like cigarettes and wine. Never mind the microphone smelled like a beer. She smelled like cigarettes and wine.
Well, that could be okay sometimes. Although I would prefer a different kind of cigarette, let's just say.
Oh, my God.
Jason Isbell is simply the best lyricist in America today, period.
Yeah, that is amazing.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You don't sound convinced, Tracy.
No.
Yeah. That's like the least excited you can say.
I'm trying.
No, that's it. Okay. That's okay.
Just like okay.
Just not your genre, right?
No.
Hey, guess what I've done the last week?
What haven't you done?
I saw Greta Van Fleet last Saturday night at the Palladium with a couple of my pool buddies.
Cool.
So yeah. Are you a convert? Cool.
How old is she? Is she going to croak? Or?
No. Greta Van Fleet is a bunch of 16-year-olds from Michigan.
Well, they're 21 now, but yeah.
Okay, 21.
We should be safe. All right.
Yeah.
Who are these people?
I'm going to get in trouble.
Joy
in Michigan loves them.
Play the Highway
Tune,
Bob.
I'm ambivalent. Greta Van Fleet is. How do you put this? They work really hard. They're hardworking young musicians. They're fairly good. They're good at their craft. And they're single-handedly trying to resurrect 70s rock.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. They sound a lot. The lead singer sounds just as good as Robert Plant did in his prime as far as his voice range. He's like got a 4-octave range, I think. It's amazing.
Okay.
Tracy, boy.
Well, you know, talking about.
Some excitement here.
Talking about.
Axl Rose has 5.
I am. Listen to me, people. One more time for those in the cheap seat. I am a black woman who grew up listening to Motown.
All right. Okay. So hold on. So hold on here. I got another story. So last night, Nitwit Nero went to Minneapolis.
Oh, God. He's
insane. Oh, yes. That part. Yes. See, there you go. Here we go.
And he's insane. You gotta let me. Gotta let me work this,
let
Steve.
Let him finish. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Hush, Steve. Hush.
You hush, Tracy. We got this.
Don't hush, Tracy, Steve. You don't want that. You don't want to bring down the wrath of Tracy.
I was just returning the hush favor.
She's the black woman, you know.
Don't do it. You don't want none of this.
She knows I love her. It doesn't matter. Go ahead, Bob.
All right, so. They got busted because they played Prince's Purple Rain.
Yep, 15 seconds.
Yeah, and Prince's estate said, yeah, don't do that.
Mm.
And there's a certain amount of Goddess of Irony work going on because if you check the backstory on that song, it's about Prince crying when his daddy had blacked his eyes to keep him from becoming a homosexual. Okay.
Bob, I'm not a...
Wait. Just let me finish.
Dimitri, let me finish.
Good. Call him out, Tracy. You always call me out.
Hush, y'all. Just let the man talk.
Shut the fuck up, people. Shut the fuck up, Donnie.
So that alone is is an ironic reason for Nitwit Nero to probably never play Purple Rain again. You know, being how he slapped his own kid around and shit like that. But Agnes realized something earlier this evening, and when she read the story about them playing Prince in Minneapolis, she figured out they were probably aiming for a different song. Hang on. Wait a minute. Let me get this right. Someday we'll have a producer. Yeah, this.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Lawrence.
For anyone who doesn't know, that's Prince's party man. And that's the real Joker, Jack Nicholson.
Mm.
From the original Batman.
Mm.
The intro
to that song reminded me of Freeway of Love from the 80s. Who sang that? Was it Aretha?
Probably Donna Summer. I'm not sure.
No, that's Aretha. Freeway of Love. Yeah, that's Aretha.
Is it Aretha? Okay, there you go.
Brownsville Station.
Brownsville Station. No, it was Aretha.
But the thing is, in the Batman movie, it involves vandals going through a museum, destroying the cultural heritage, you know, of the world. Which is exactly Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I think he's gone clinically insane.
Oh, I think he always has been.
But I think it's progressed to a point that it's dangerous now. I mean, he's Walter Kurtz insane.
I think he's trying to make everybody else in this country insane. and see who dies first. I don't know.
Did anybody catch that rambling mess he did last night? And he's doing another one tonight. It's somewhere near
Louisiana.
Louisiana,
yeah.
Yeah, they're keeping him on the road.
Crazy.
They're keeping him on the road because he's dangerous when he's at home. And by the way, I just had a note from Kyle. I hate to inject politics into this conversation about music, and forgive if you said this because I had to step away for a few minutes, but I didn't. But the acting head of the DHS is out as of tonight, as if this day and night hasn't been crazy enough.
Jeez. He's had a very bad day. With the court defeats.
No, it's all falling apart. I mean, Ambassador Sondland, who only became ambassador to the EU because he gave $1 million to the inaugural committee.
Right.
Yeah, he's probably going to testify. What happened today with Marie Yovanovitch, who had been the career Foreign Service agent ambassador to Ukraine, who got shoved out because Rudy didn't like the fact that she was not going along with his sleazy business.
Mm-hmm.
She testified today.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those moments where I say, however weird it was yesterday, it's obviously weirder today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And however weird it was today, it's going to get weirder still tomorrow. There ain't nothing but weird as far as the eye can see, okay?
I mean, there's not enough superlatives that Hunter S. Thompson could come up with to describe the era where we find ourselves in, you know?
Oh, my God.
It's accelerating, Bob.
Yeah.
No, really. And
centrifugal force,
The weirdness is moving towards warp speed, I think, Scott.
Oh yeah,
Star Trek reference, huh?
And the number of people, myself included, predicted that this guy, as things get weirder and worse for him, and he gets backed into a corner. Ultimately, there's no way to step back. That's when the true Trump rears its ugly head. It gets crazy because the two things that he cannot abide: being made to look bad and being made to look foolish or stupid.
But Scott, if you listen to Washington Journal, and I hope you haven't, at least 40% still follow him. And their logic is, well, he tells it like it is. If I said to Scott or Bob or anybody, if you jab a fork in your eye, you may not go blind, but you probably go blind, but you may not die. I'm telling it like it is. Is that any reason to canonize or pedestal me? No. Well, these people are fucking crazy, man.
Steve, you got to understand, if you, and Bob knows this from being in radio for so long, don't be fooled by what you're hearing on call-in radio shows or forums like Washington Journal. First of all, the audience of C-SPAN generally and Washington Journal in particular, compared to what, 330 million people in the country?
Yeah, keep going.
Fabulous.
I'm glad it's not a microcosm, and I appreciate the words of comfort, but it's very scary, you know.
It's numbers. It's not even comfort. When you really analyze it, the number of people who call in, some of the, they have different hosts than they did when I used to watch it, but some of the callers, even with not being able to call but once a month, they're almost on a first-name basis with the host. They're what they call regulars. Am I pretty much right on, Bob, with this?
Like, no. You are. But I tell you what, there's a hell of a big difference between a regular at Washington Journal and a regular here.
Well, yeah, obviously.
But they jump party lines. They call the Democrat line and say, I used to be a Democrat.
Yeah,
and they blast all this.
Right, because they're liars.
Talking points. Yeah. They're right, exactly.
And
I got to interject this. Just going back to the previous conversation, note from Lady B, subject line, Jackson Brown. my absolute favorite by him, That Girl Could Sing. Lady B has the DJ brain. Yes, absolutely.
Wasn't there a revelation back, I guess, during the Bush years, the George W. Bush years, where the Republican operatives had a team of people who would enlist, I think it was $5 a call, for these morons to call in to these shows on the radio and stuff, simply to recite the talking points.
Yes.
Isn't that, yeah. Wasn't that a thing?
Yeah, it was. It was.
Yeah. So that was in the early 2000s during the reign of AIR, right?
Yeah, I think. Yeah. I think it goes back to that point.
Yeah.
And you can't program to the phones, is what I'm saying.
But Scott, you got to ask yourself this. They devoted 3 hours to this nutcase rally that Trump did last night.
Oh, they did that today? They did that today?
Yes, yes.
Because, see, when I tuned in, Bob, let me just add one more thing.
They did nothing about the CNN town hall meeting. That was not even mentioned.
Well, it was, frankly, I was barely aware of it today. I mean, Elizabeth Warren had a great one-liner. I mean, her indirect reference to the right-wing incels was gorgeous. The guy said, well, let's say I'm an old-fashioned person, and I say marriage belongs between a man and a woman. How do you respond to that, Senator Warren? And she said, well, I'm going to assume that it's a guy saying that, so... if that's the case, then just marry one woman. ... If you can find one. That was a brilliant line, but it was cute and everything, but it got completely lost, just like Lindsey Graham selling out his fucking country got lost.
Hey.
Yeah, that recording that Bob had should have been played, you know, from coast to coast today, and I didn't hear any of it.
No, it got because, you know, we wouldn't want to offend Precious Lindsey, because, you know, Precious Lindsey is an important voice in foreign policy.
So what if we were to mail that in? They would ignore it, wouldn't they?
Sure they would, because... whether it was the New York Times or Politico, it was referred to as a prank call, you know, as if they had called up Lindsey and said, Lindsey, is your refrigerator, Lindsey, this is Turkish foreign minister calling from Moscow, is refrigerator running? Oh, you better go catch it. Ha, 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 ha.
They've got voice printing technology now. They could nail it down whether it was him or not. And they could nail it down to whoever the prankster, if he came forward.
Hey, Lindsey, this is Turkish foreign minister. Do you have Prince Edward in a can?
Then you better let him out.
Well, it's not a matter necessarily of gullibility, although there's plenty of that to go around with this twerp. But if you look at what Lindsey's stance about Trump was when the GOP primary season was underway, he was a definite never Trumper, wasn't he? But they get close to proximity.
Well, that was when he was a presidential candidate.
Well, that's what I mean.
And then Donald Trump gave out his phone number.
Well, yeah, that was pretty fucking low. I mean, but the point of it is if someone looks as if they're going to have power and influence, then they gather around that person because they want some of it to rub off on them. You know, that's the corrupt nature of power in the country. We've got so many missed opportunities in the past 40 years in terms of I was watching a video of Gore Vidal and David Susskind last night on Amazon Prime from like the late 70s. It was right before the 1980 election. And Gore Vidal said something that was true then and hella true today. And that is, if this country would simply get its fucking priorities straight, cut the military budget in half, and then use that savings from that line item to actually start addressing conditions and circumstances in this country, we could be the country that the founders had in mind. But no, we're just steeped in taking the money and the fucking military industrial congressional complex, and the object of the exercise is to keep the money concentrated in a tiny place and bullshit the people till they can't hardly stand and sell them on the idea of this is what constitutes American greatness. And for the last 40 years, at least since the age of Reagan, maybe even a little bit before, this country just has not had its head on straight in terms of what constitutes greatness and a decent society. You know, to me, as long as there are people, children, they talk about, well, they're, what is that term that they use to describe hunger? They don't call it hunger anymore. It's like food disadvantaged or food something, you know?
Insecure.
Euphemisms. Food insecure. They will euphemize your fucking ass half to death to keep from calling it what it is. It's hunger, goddammit. And as long as there are people in this country and families who are ill-clad, ill-nourished, ill-educated, and not...
Well, I mean, it's not quite as Orwellian as that, Scott. Because food insecurity is different from hunger. Food insecurity is not the same as I ain't et in 3 days. Food insecurity food insecurity is actually a broader term because it means not knowing where your next meal is coming from. And that's an actually even more damning statistic. Do you see the difference?
Yeah, I do. I do. And there are millions in this country who literally are in that position. Meanwhile, we've got to rustle up new aircraft carriers and new forms of nuclear weapons and new forms of all manner of shit that takes money out of it makes you want to weep, or me it does anyway, that this country, I mean, growing up in the 60s, yeah, we were cockeyed optimists, but at least we had the sense that there was going to be progress in this country, and that that people would get a better shake out of the deal, and we're not getting nothing.
Well, you got to understand, Scott, and you know, and I dare say probably Tracy can probably chime in on this one. This country hates poor people, and I'm not saying Tracy's poor people. Tracy's not. But Tracy has struggled.
I used to be.
Exactly.
And if it wasn't for Jan, I would still be poor.
This country despises poor people. And so we create flaming barbed wire hoops that they have to jump through. See, I had to do something today, and I didn't realize I could do it, but I just had a hunch, and I went and did, because I've been trying to get help for Ferg, and every number I fucking dial, there's somebody at the other end of it saying, does he have insurance? And that doesn't happen in civilized countries. We're not a civilized country. We're a capitalist country. And so I sat down at the local welfare office, and I filled out a bunch of paperwork to try to get him health care so that I can get him moved into a residential treatment facility that, to be honest, at this point in time, he says he's not willing to go into. But that's just one more. And if you are food insecure, guess what? We've set up a bureaucracy in this country that doesn't ask you if you're hungry. It asks you if you've done your fucking paperwork right.
Well, I have, and I can attest to that because I'm on Medicare and Medi-Cal because my income is just so. So I have to change my address. Now, every other agency that I've dealt with, I'm dealing with the IRS, Medicare, all sorts of agencies on my credit card. Everything I could do online, they have a two-step verification process to make sure it's me and that I'm just not somebody, you know, that's stealing my identity and all that. I go to change my address for the county because the only thing I get from the county is Medi-Cal. Bob, I couldn't do it online, so they said I could call. I was on hold for two hours. Finally, I just gave up. So I go to the Medi-Cal office. The goal is to the Medi-Cal office. I had to, you know, go through the metal detector, stand in line. They took my information. Then I had to go into, you know, they fill out a paper. Then I had to go to, they sent me to the wrong building. And I go to another building. And I'm like, I'm at the right building. And they have such disdain. And I'm like, well, what are you here to do? I said, I'm just here to change my address. That's all I want to do is change my address. Well, what? And I'm like, yo, bitch, if I didn't, look, I don't want to be here. As much as you don't want to be here, I sure as fuck don't want to be here. I have better things to do than to drive my happy black ass down here just to fill out some fucking paperwork just to change my address. That's all I wanted to do.
Right. And let's be sure, it doesn't have to be that way. If we simply said that every citizen of the United States gets a square meal,
that part, you know, and the hoops that you have to jump because of my, you know, my income, they were
all of those barbed wire flaming hoops, Tracy, can be accredited to the Republican Party. Because they despise you and they despise everyone else who relies upon the government that exists to take care of them. Let me make something abundantly clear. The flaming barbed wire hoops that poor people and people in need have to jump through, how many hoops do you think corporate agribusiness has to jump through in order to get the welfare payments from the Trump administration for the agriculture subsidies?
Or the oil companies, Bob.
Next to none.
Let's not forget about their subsidies, Bob. You know, because, you know, the oil companies are hurting really bad. They really need subsidies.
They're more important. They count. Corporations are people, y'all.
Well, see, but and socialism for corporate farmers is something that corporate farmers deserve.
Well, Bob, I don't know what you were up against, but it sounds like Tracy should have been able to go online and just whack that out in a few minutes, you know?
No, wait. The reason I don't have health insurance is because I went online and whacked that out. And then 2 weeks later, I got a notice saying you don't have health insurance anymore. Even though I'd gone online and whacked that out.
No, now, when I see mean whack that out, I meant, for Tracy's case, whack out her old address and put it in a new one. I think we're talking apples and oranges.
No, it's all the same thing, Steve.
It's all the same thing. Because, as a matter of fact, Steve, when I have to do my every year I have to do my reevaluation. And now you could do it online. And I'm like, fuck if I will. Because of what, you know, I do it online. I still send in the paperwork.
In a perfect world, that's the way it should be.
Yeah, and this ain't a perfect world, brother.
No, we're far from it. But I'm so sorry, y'all.
And the
bullshit. You know?
And the goddamn GOP will get up there and look you in the face and actually use the phrase, "We must stop waste fraud and abuse." Those motherfuckers.
Right. Jesus. Exactly. And hey, and let me go ahead, Tracy.
No, no, I was Scott, you made me think, and I hope I don't butcher the song because I think we need, because I do call you my eternal cockeyed optimist, and I love you for it because you are truly a ray of sunshine in this dark, ugly world because you know, every time people are, you know, we get into these, because me and Bob can go real dark real quick, and there you are shining out, you know, trying to keep us happy and smiling. So, you know, Stevie Wonder's song, Love's a Needed Love Today. So, you know, and I think this is what's happening, especially what's happening with Bob and what's happening in this country in general. It's just, even in the words of that song, you know, this one line he says, "Did you ever think that love would need love today?" And I think what's happening in this country and the world around us, it's just gotten to the point where, because I've never really been an optimist. I have my moments of optimism, but lately it's been really hard. But just yesterday I was listening to, I heard this song, and it gave me a just a little spark of hope. So I just want you to know that this, you're not the only one, but when I did hear this song yesterday, I instantly thought of you. So I just wanted you to know that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And you know something, Tracy? To me, my mindset and my approach even goes beyond just optimism. I'm a person who believes in possibility, and my mantra, and has been for a couple of years now, and put it on the wall, look at it on the refrigerator, on a post-it note, behave in a manner that's consistent with creating a future that works positively and appropriately for all concerned. If that's not our mantra and our goal on going forward on an ongoing basis and show up every day and move us just a tiny bit further in that direction, it can happen because it's in the nature of possibility.
Yeah, it can happen. It can happen, Scott, if we drive the Republican Party into the dirt.
To the fucking ground.
Well, yeah.
And see, there's another story that's banging around out there that I've sort of had laying here waiting on the opening. You were the one who earlier this week brought up the hopeful notion that somehow Willard Romney was going to be the white horse.
It almost sounded like you said the white whore. I'm like, wait, what? Oh, you said horse. Okay.
Whore may have been more like it.
Yeah.
So I had a follow-up story earlier today that says that, you know, what Bishop Willard wants to do is he wants to shore up Republicans and push back against Trump. And the rotten bastard has a war chest that just won't quit. And the way the rules are written, he can take Willard money, which long ago, our buddy, the sage of Southwest Wisconsin, Albert, used to refer to as rocket ship money. Because Willard has enough money to build a rocket ship to fucking Kolob. Well, Willard's going to take his rocket ship money and he's going to pour it into the campaigns of Cory Gardner in Colorado and Susan Collins in Maine. So Willard is going to sit there and oppose Trump by making sure that goddamned McConnell remains the Senate Majority Leader.
God damn, that's criminal, man.
Okay, it's as cynical and ugly a piece of politics as exists in America today. He'll sit there and because the story I read, well, you know, his donor base is huge.
Willard, doesn't you know, that's, he have that's, his own that's, car
that's,
elevator?
No, that's I like mean, that's like Warren Zevon singing, "His hair was perfect," in Werewolves of London. Okay, we're working songs here tonight. Yes. So you know, look out. You know, if you see Bishop Willard say, he's an anti-Trump Republican. Nah, he may be, but he's a pro-fucking McConnell Republican, too. And Willard's just tickled shitless.
Doesn't he have his own car elevator in his house, his yes. mansion or whatever?
Well, yeah. And I think he's got an elevator.
Yes, at La Jolla. His mansion in La Jolla on the coast.
Yeah, and he's got an elevator. He's got an elevator for his wife's fucking horse, Rafalka.
Rafalka, I remember she went to the Olympics.
He ought to be ashamed of himself.
And don't forget, folks, I know America has a very limited memory capacity in terms of what happened 4, 8, 12, and 16 years ago. But Mitt, in front of a group of Republican donors, and thank God somebody recorded it.
Yeah, the 47%.
47%. You know, and that's where their focus is. Like you say, Bob, they detest the poor.
Right.
They just
despise us.
They hate us. They hate us.
We're the ick on the bottom of Republican $1,000 shoes.
We're the thumbtack in their heel, man.
And meanwhile, Cory Gardner, who is the Joe Manchin of 2020. Remember how we were all afraid that Joe Manchin was going to get beat and all that shit? Yeah, we're too fucked up in West Virginia to run even a decent Republican against him. So we got Joe, which means that, you know, if it makes it to a Senate trial, by the way, if, in case you're not paying attention, if it makes it to a Senate trial of a bill of impeachment, you got to take the number of Democrats and subtract it by one because Joe is there. And Joe won't vote with the goddamn Democrats. So whatever number you need to remove him by, you got to add one Republican to it because you got to take one Democrat away from it. Well, anyway, Cory Gardner is 2020's 2018 Joe Manchin. And they simply asked him a question, and it was all over the place today. You can find it if you want to. They asked him, is it okay for the president to ask a foreign country to interfere in our elections? Well, that's an easy answer. No. Cory Gardner fell all over himself for 4 goddamn minutes, unable to say no.
I mean, the problem is, Bob, I mean, the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini can melt you with a tweet, so you got to watch what you say, you know?
Well, never mind the fucking tweets. No, that's what I was talking about a week or so ago. It ain't the tweets. The minute that he says no, he is liable to be assassinated by one of the many maggots running around out there with a bunch of goddamn guns who are more than willing to kill for the stochastic terrorist in the White House.
God, I never even thought of that angle.
Or you know,
have.
If you speak out against Donald Trump and you're a Republican, you're more at risk than any Democrat is because you immediately become a betrayer.
That's so true. Make a primaried as well. That's their greatest concern. Primaried right.
There's no Barry Goldwater that's going to walk across the street in the Senate and say, okay, the deal's up, man. You got to go. That's not going to happen.
Mm-mm.
Because according to what you're saying, Bob, is he could be iced. That's a scary fucking thought, man.
Well, why do you think that none of them are turning on him? They don't agree with him. I mean, if what Jeff Flake says is true, and there's 35 Republican votes in the United States Senate to remove him from office, if the vote was taken by secret ballot, What other explanation is there? Because even maggots can count.
Well, I think it was like what Scott alluded to earlier. They're power hungry, and power means more to them than anything.
I'll tell you, if you look back to the midterms of 1974, a couple of months after Nixon split, there's a lesson to be learned in that there are going to be consequences. We saw it in 2018 with our most recent midterms. There's a core of people in this country who know what the deal is. And they know that if we don't do something this time around, we are screwed. You know?
We're all screwed.
We're beyond screwed, toast.
Bob. You know? And we cannot fuck this up. I can't stress that enough. So think of a green felt-covered table with a pile of chips in the center. Somebody's going to win those fucking chips in 2020. And woe is to us if we don't retake the Senate, keep the House, and win the White House in a decisive manner. Woe be unto us. So there.
Well put. I mean,
absolutely right.
And see, the Republicans know what's at stake. See, to me, on some level, the fact that Trump is the fucking president of the United States, and it makes me gag just to use that term in reference to him, but they know that there are people in this country who know that that's the beginning of the end for them. And the question becomes, in 2020, can they keep up the scam? Can they orchestrate yet another victory? Because if they do, it's not going to be pretty. If they don't, there might be a slim opportunity to start setting the ship of state right. So, God, I don't think I need any more coffee. I'm wound up like an 8-day clock as it is.
8-day clock, that's a clock.
Well, the stakes are high, Scott. You're right. I mean, you're a good wordsmith. I couldn't put it any better myself.
And
that's the thing. We cannot slough it off. Like those political ads in the 60s for LBJ in 64. The stakes are too high for you to stay home. You know?
Or get pissed off and, you know, vote for some third party.
I saw this thing earlier from Tulsi saying that I'm thinking about boycotting the upcoming debate because voters in New Hampshire, Iowa, Nevada, and South Carolina are being discriminated against. Blow me. Okay. Because the fact of the matter is voters in New Hampshire, Iowa, South Carolina, and Nevada have a greater impact on the election, on the primary system, than all the other states combined. Because, as I've said a million times over, by the time little old me gets to cast my little old vote in little old May 2020, that's going to be spring. Oh, I can't wait for spring because winter's coming and it's going to suck so much. I hate winter.
Well, I'll tell you.
By then, it'll be down to Biden and Elizabeth Warren, there won't be more than three or four candidates left. So I get no vote in the broader panoply of the candidacies, because we're going to trust that to people who live in states that can't even guarantee deliver their states for the Democratic Party. I mean,
Bob, what are the
logistics of you becoming a delegate for your state? And I'm sorry to interrupt.
I'm not going to be on the ballot, but I'll probably wind up going to the convention. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
It matters, you know, more than, I mean, just throwing a vote.
If
you,
I mean, if you're talking about the Democratic Party, where would you want your first few primaries to be? Guaranteed Democratic states. So how about New York? How about California as a first primary? How about Washington or Oregon? How about we leave the Confederacy entirely the motherfuck out of it? Because South Carolina, and see, this is one of the troubling aspects of this, and I could get myself into trouble in a real hurry. Tracy, unmute, please. South Carolina is... Well, it's time for you to speak on behalf of
The black people. Or
yes,
the lesbians?
Yes. No, the black people.
Okay.
And the black lesbians, if you want to.
And the black lesbians too. Okay.
Yeah.
the beautiful people.
I love South Carolina as a geographical place, but that state ain't never ever, at least in the lifetimes of anyone hearing my voice, going to give its electoral college votes to a Democrat. White folks going to make sure of that.
That part.
So we include South Carolina in the early primary states because it's good for South Carolina's economy. And because it is deemed to provide some sort of bellwether as to how black people feel about Democratic candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And Tracy, unless you straighten my ass up and I'm wrong, I don't think that's exactly how the land lays.
No. Because let's look, okay. Here we go. Look what happened in 2016. And not a whole lot of black folks voted for Hillary, did they?
Oh, no. Hillary owned South Carolina.
She owned South Carolina, but did she own South Carolina in the general election?
Oh, hell no. No.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, is there another state that has a substantial enough black population or population of color that it might be a better bellwether for the Democratic Party of how people of color feel about candidates?
Are we talking southern states or just states in general?
Any state. You know, black folks in Idaho, black folks in Montana, black folks in New Mexico,
black folks in Kansas.
In
Montana? I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I mean, but you get
two black people in Montana.
Both of them. All right.
Well, see, here's the thing, because as a black person who lives in California, I haven't really, you know, and I'm going to say it. No, I haven't been excited about a Democratic candidate in a very long time, but because I'm an informed voter, and because I know that if I voted only because I was excited about a candidate also, and because I was going to vote based on what this candidate was going to do for black people, I'd never vote that part. But I have to look at the big picture and hope, because, you know, candidates stopped catering to the black vote decades ago.
But wait. I mean, I think we're... Man, this sounds like a group session or something. I think we're on the verge of a breakthrough here.
Go ahead. What do you mean?
You reckon it's a safe bet that there's a whole shitload more black folks in California than there are in South Carolina?
Well, now we had to remember back in the early aughts, and we had a lot of black folks moving back down south. My brother, my sister, You know, these are people from California. A lot of black people moved down. I have a lot of friends.
Okay. I mean, let's just.
I have a black family that lives in my neighborhood.
What?
Yay!
Yay!
Progress.
I'm Steve, but, and I'm a compulsive gambler.
No, but seriously.
No. Okay.
Steve.
The demographics are off now because see, a lot of black people are moving back down south. I mean. But here's the problem because
I don't care how many of them have done that. They have not delivered a state for the Democratic Party yet.
No, they can't because remember these black people moved down south, but this was before the 2008 decision that racism that didn't exist
no
anymore.
Longer existed. Yes,
and McCutcheon. So now we already had the voter ID laws. But then we got the super predator voter ID laws, so and the purging of the voter rolls and stuff like that.
Yeah, but
so
what I'm getting at is, if we're going to depend on South Carolina to be the bellwether of the sentiments of Black America, I think we got a problem because, among other things, South Carolina has one of the oldest populations in the United States, and that includes black folks and white folks, and yeah.
No, and see that's the problem because see we have a whole lot of things working in not in so much in the favor. I do think if you're going to pick a southern city or maybe state that has a strong population of black people, I would probably think Georgia. Or maybe even Florida. There's a lot of us in California. And it's funny that because I'm considering enrolling in, applying for CSUN fall 2020, and I was looking at the demographics of the student population, and at CSUN, there's only 4% African American. Do you know there's actually more Latinx students at CSUN than white students? Isn't that something?
But well, I mean, that's kind of a good thing.
They outnumber you, Tracy, in California. Get over it.
What?
I'm excited. Hold up. Pump your brakes on that one. I'm not trying to get over. I'm excited. I was just shocked because I've never seen a school in California, a school period, a college where there's more of a minority than white people. That was my point.
Yeah.
I'm not.
And so the larger point that I'm getting at is that if I think there is a fundamental structural failure and feel free to call me out.
The Democratic Party is out of touch with the black community, period.
Okay, good enough. But the part of the black community the Democratic Party isn't out of touch with is the old folks in the AMEs in South Carolina.
Yes, Jesus.
Am I saying it right in my white privilege?
Because the black church still holds sway, and that's with the older community. I mean, I think we had this conversation the other day, not long ago. What is considered the older community? I don't think you are. I'm not old enough because I'm only 53. I think my mom.
You're not even an auntie yet.
No, I'm not even. I'm Miss Tracy. I've graduated to Miss Tracy. I'm not Auntie Tracy. I'm not like Auntie Mac. So I think people my mom's age and older, because my mom will be 70 in a few weeks. So,
yeah, they're elders.
So these are elders. So it's those people, you know, that are the last, the remaining people that are, you know, still the last vestiges of the civil rights movement. And the ones that are coming up, you know, as the civil rights movement was ending, because my mom was born in 49. So she's a baby boomer, but she wasn't really participating in the civil rights movement. She was old enough, but not quite old enough. You know what I was like? Because
yeah, it's a matter of torch passing.
Right. And that torch, she probably would have carried on the torch, but when she was 16 in 1966, she was a brand new mom. So, and married to an abusive asshole for that part. And by the time she was 18 in 1968, she had two children. So, you know, so there's this, you know, so we've got these from 70 to, you know, up and up, still clinging to that, not so much the black liberation of the liberating of black people. They still have that kind of that mentality. And I'm reading about this, about not so much liberating black minds, but saving black people. So we still have the vestiges of that, and, you know, and so a little mixed that with a little internalized racism, and that, so we have the white savior complex going on with people like Joe Biden, and that they're going to be able to lift up the black race, and, you know, without our, you know, that Joe Biden could come in and swoop us up and save us all, that part. And so,
right. So what I'm arguing is that after New Hampshire, which Joe Biden is going to lose, and after Iowa, which Joe Biden is going to lose, and after Nevada, which Joe Biden is going to lose, he's going to win in South Carolina, and they're going to say, well, say, you know, the African Americans are solidly behind Joe Biden.
And it's going to be my auntie, except for my mom. She's not going to vote for Joe. She's in North Carolina. She's not in South Carolina. She's not, because she's over.
They're going to extrapolate the entire African American community out of South Carolina. And I will dare to say that that is racist in itself.
It's racist as fuck. Because they're taking one small segment of a community. And I wish Todd ain't here. Because he's in South Carolina. So he's, you know, this is, I mean, he's not from South Carolina, but he lives there now. So he's.
Yeah, but I'm guessing Todd's not clapping in the AME.
No, I don't think so. Unless if he were, it would be the AME that just fell down, that the roof came in on him. But
no.
I think it's even beyond racist to give the impression that Joe Biden is the savior of black people. That's what they want. They want the fucking, and it goes back to what I was saying before. The media wants the mainstream establishment candidate because they won't get called on anything. It's a safe bet for them, but safe bets are not good bets.
Well, that's what the argument has been. I mean, I checked in with my filthy morning habit this morning, and the argument was all about how, well, you know, there's a whole bunch of never Trump Republicans who would gloriously and happily vote for Joe Biden. But they can't vote for a commie like Elizabeth Warren. I'm like, fuck me. Okay, well, you know, how do you take that into account? And I gotta share a note coming in from Lady B because we're running low on time. Subject line: poverty. Colorado resident here. Medicaid and food stamp recipient. Yes. I'm talented. Yes, I have a master's degree. But I also suffer from job-destroying PTSD. Thank God for our Medicaid expansion. It was only 3 years ago I was definitively diagnosed, so now, at 50, I can heal and repair my life. Having a big, incredible family helps. I work, but I got to stay below the $1,200 a month threshold, and that's before taxes. After taxes, I'm about $300 short of that, but as far as the U.S. social safety net is concerned, fuck that. You gross $1,200, we count you at $1,200. For those of you who voted Republican, let me tell you why you're so interested keeping folks like me in poverty. when all you have to do is increase taxes on the rich and make them increase minimum wage to match inflation? And why, for fuck's sake, are we as a country so cool with that? We're all one catastrophic weather event, illness or accident, away from losing everything. Because this is America. The ones who believe that always have a bigger... The ones who believe that always have a bigger say than the rest of us. And are y'all really cool with that? Damn. Lady B never comes with anything but her A game.
And like she said, and that's the same thing with me. This is why I work for myself. Because I have to make very sure that I make X amount of money a month. Because if, like she said, if I make 1201
or what? Game over.
Game fucking over. And that is so ridiculous that, you know, that you have to shuffle and hustle and do all these other things to, you know, just shy of
that's the whole thing. The system is set up such that struggling people have to work harder than any CEO on earth. If you took any CEO of any great American corporation and said, no, you're going to live like poor folks, they'd collapse inside of a week. And that's a fact.
Like if you told a man that he has to give birth to his penis.
Bob, that's the old would you trade places proof of the argument. Anybody who tries to tell me that, boy, I have got it good, okay? I say, okay, it's so good. Let's trade places for a year and then compare notes when that year is up. Well, no, you won't get many takers on that. They'll sit there on the fucking sidelines or up in the peanut gallery and tell you how great you got it, but they wouldn't want that for themselves.
Right, and I think you got it about half-assed backwards, Scott, because what it is...
I often do.
No, they look and they go, well, them poor people, they got all that free shit. And they never have any idea what people who are struggling to stay alive have to go through to get even the most modest of services.
My best friend.
That they have damned well earned.
Oh, when I had Section 8, Bob, I had to live in a shelter. Why do I have to live in a shelter in order to get Section 8 with my child so I can get help with my rent?
I know.
Why should I have to go through
that? I know. And just as a matter of reality, Agnes and I are busting our ass to find a homeless shelter for our beloved only son. Busting our ass and ain't found one yet. And that's how it plays.
No, you shouldn't have to damn near live on the street or whatever you have to do in order to get help. You shouldn't have to be fucking destitute.
Right. But you know, here where we are, we have to consign him to the, I mean, it feels very much like we have to consign him to the streets in order for him to rehab. How often does rehab on the streets work out?
Yeah, not so much.
And he can't come home. As a matter of law and fact, he cannot come home. And he's gonna and he's gonna take the talents and at the same time the mental illness that he has, and he's gonna make it all okay on the streets. Let's all cue up Lee Greenwood and sing, "Thank God I Was Born a American." We've been singing all night, haven't we? Well, anyway, we're at the end of it all.
And, hey, Bob.
Yes, Parky.
I hate to be a party pooper on this, but next weekend's the sixth anniversary of my making it to the finish line. 3 years ago, I got Medicare, so I'm not hurting. So I just want to, some people made it out of the slime.
And you know what? That's a reminder that we need, Sparky. It can happen here. And you know what? You had a union, brother.
You bet I did.
Well, real quick, Bob, here's how I put it. When you talk about the struggle that a good number of people in this country find themselves in moment to moment, and they have to really beat the system half to death to get what's inside, I don't like what they're putting in the pinata these days. Because you expend all that effort, and you still don't get anything worth having or that would make a meaningful difference. Does that make sense? I mean,
yeah, it does. There's a massive structural failure in this country, Scott. And with that having been said, we'll knock off for the evening. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Charlene and Rico, for the challenges. Thank you to everybody who responded to them. Thank you for helping us finish the week to the good. Thank you so much. Thank you, all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. And I love you, son. Have a great weekend, everybody.